Always a crowd pleaser.
Broken bottles on the children's feet.
Gallo seemed surprised, almost shocked, that U2's coming to the Bell Center.
Well, just I know last time they had to build a special stadium they just
did.
For U2.
Yeah, 160,000 people, 80,000 over two nights. I was there. I bought Sean Starr a wedding gift. Never been married. Yes, you can beat the box office. We have two tickets to see U2, Experience and Innocence Tour, as part of their new album, June the 5th. Tickets won't go on sale until Monday. We have a couple of tickets to give away as soon as we finish up our conversation with, every Wednesday at this time, from TSN, our good friend, Mr. Gord Miller.
Gord Miller on Melnick in the Afternoon, brought to you by Poker Palace, just 15 minutes from downtown Montreal, poker-palace.ca.
Good evening, Gord. How you doing?
I'm well. So this concert's in June?
Yeah.
June.
June 5th. Yep. Tickets go on sale Monday.
It's November.
I know. Well, it's a U2 town here, baby.
Every town's a U2 town. I got news for you. Every town's a U2 town.
Yeah. Ray Ferraro saw them for the first time during the playoffs, right? And he just couldn't believe how good they were.
I've been several times. Love them.
Yeah, so June the 5th, tickets on sale Monday, November 20th, next Monday, evenko.ca.
What if you're busy June 5th?
What if I'm busy June the 5th?
Like what if all of a sudden you got to go somewhere? Like a
Habs Stanley Cup final game?
Sure.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out.
Come on, what are the odds? Don't they have those daily updates? I know The Athletic.
Yeah. I could check for you, yeah.
I think it was around 6% last time I checked, so... Gord, I want to specifically talk to you about history, which I know you're a big history buff, and I'll get to that in a second. But just curious, your active mind, what was going on as you followed what was going down here yesterday with Carey Price and not skating and Antti Niemi being claimed and all of that.
Yeah, this is the same thing as a couple of years ago, right? The sort of mystery surrounding Carey Price, and then sort of the announcement came later. I'm not saying this is the same thing, but I get why teams don't say something. But at the same time, people pay money to attend and watch these games on television. You know, they buy cable packages, they buy tickets. I think people have a right to know.
Sure they do.
I think they have a right to know.
Well, Blair questioning what you just said?
Blair is saying the same things. He wants to know if someone's hurt.
No, I want to know what's actually happening.
Well, Montreal Canadiens aren't saying Carey Price is hurt or not. They're not saying what's wrong with him. So I think people have right. I don't know. They're just not telling anybody.
That's dumb.
That's dumb, Blair says.
Well, okay.
Child has a strong opinion.
Galchenyuk? Did she just say Galchenyuk?
No, she has a strong opinion.
Okay. You want to?
I should come on the Mitch Melnick radio sometime.
Okay. You put Blair on.
Hang on, Blair. You're on the Mitch Melnick radio show here.
Yeah.
Here, hey. Go on.
Okay, we made. Hey, Blair. How you doing?
I'm good, and you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Always great to have a female voice on the show. Where are you heading? Where's your dad taking you?
Dance.
Dance class?
Yes.
What kind of dance? Like ballet or breakdance or
ballet.
What? Ballet. Yeah, you're learning. Yeah. You're learning all about balance and your core and all that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you like watching people dance?
No.
No. Well, that's because you have to watch your dad dance, right?
I wish.
Yeah. He must be like the worst dancer in Toronto.
Yes.
Huh?
I feel like every hockey person listening is like, what is happening?
Well, you're making your debut as a conversationalist on Melnick in the Afternoon. So, Blair, what was the opinion that you had about what's going on here?
I feel like they should tell whoever I don't know the name. I'm very forgetful. But if said player is hurt.
Carey Price.
Thank you, Daddy.
Yeah. They should tell the truth.
Yeah.
Because
people pay for that. They want to know.
People have a right to know. Like if you were, how old are you? Are you 12?
I am 12, turning 13.
When's your birthday?
December 1st.
Oh, okay. We'll have to keep that in mind. So you're 12 years old and you're going to a hockey game and you thought you'd see Austin Matthews and Austin Matthews is not playing and you want to know, like, what they're not saying anything is, like, I want to make plans to see a game in a week and I don't know if he's going to play and I'm not going to spend all that money if he's not going to play because I want to see him play, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Rod?
Okay, I got to go because I'm not dance, but it's nice talking to you, Mitch.
Nice talking to you, Blair.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All the best. Yeah.
I did great.
That was impressive.
great was her evaluation of her performance. Bye, Blair.
Well, she got three thumbs up in the studio here.
Oh, my God. Welcome to my world.
Yeah, well, you know, last night, you know, Mitch Gallo co-hosts the Del Mar postgame show with Sean Campbell after every game, and they take phone calls. And guess what happened last night, Gord?
What?
Tom's my son. He's kind of just sitting here listening to the radio.
How old is he?
He's 11.
Does he have an opinion? Do you want to put him on?
Tom, do you have an opinion?
Chucky and Drouin on the line, so they should have their top scorers instead of Plekanec, who hasn't done a thing all game.
In overtime. I like Tom, though.
Yeah, that was good.
He's like a passionate 11-year-old. That's good.
Well, he is. He plays center, so he knows. I mean,
good face-off guy?
You know, not a real good face-off guy.
So, I don't know. Maybe maybe they know each other on Facebook, huh?
Don't even.
Are you really as bad a dancer as she said you were?
Yes, okay. I am. Okay. Can't sing, can't dance, too fat to fly. Yeah, that's pretty much my motto.
So we were talking about you only heard her end of the conversation. Usually it's Ray Ferraro, but my point being, if you're a young Leafs fan, right, you're a hockey dad in Toronto, and you want to specifically see Austin Matthews, and you don't know what's going on in terms of buying tickets down the road somewhere because you have no idea when he's coming back. I mean, hypothetically.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'd like him to say how long he's going to be out. Like, is it week to week? Is it month to month? I get they don't want to say what's wrong with him, but at a certain point, all of this speculation and swirling questioning is counterproductive. And it drives me crazy, the secrecy, because, I mean, I'm sure people know. And if you watch the tape, you can see what was wrong with him. But I just don't know what to me, it's disrespectful to fans. To me, it's disrespectful to people that pay the bills. And I get why they do it, but I just don't understand it.
And for a coach who's up there, Gord, and he's got 20 or 30 microphones in his face, and he is either obfuscating at the least or blatantly lying, he can't feel good about it either.
No. And you know, I think that he's obviously, you know, the team's star player. He's their best player. And I don't know. I just, it's been going on forever. I mean, you're like trying to pound back the tide with a hammer, I guess. But at some point, you'd like to think, you know, show a little respect here.
All right. And in Toronto, at least Austin Matthews skating. And we'll find out if he plays tomorrow ahead of the matchup on Saturday. Does anybody have any idea how or when or what might have happened?
No.
Okay.
No. And so, you know, all Mike Babcock has alluded to is didn't have the same power he had before, which would lead you to say it's, you know, some kind of abdominal strain or something. But, you know, and the other problem with this, Mitch, is it leads to speculation, which we should never do.
Right.
Right. We shouldn't be guessing what a player's injury is, but what choice do you have?
So on Friday afternoon, it's a shame you won't be here because this is right up your alley with the NHL General Managers meeting to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the founding of the NHL at what was then Windsor Hotel, which is now the Windsor. We're doing our show there on site. We're going to be joined by Davey Keon.
Nice.
Davey Keon, man, for years he didn't talk to anybody, right?
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
Dave Keon, Rod Gilbert, Yvonne Cornwallier, Frank Mihaljevic. We're just going to sit around and yak about hockey and the history of hockey.
Couldn't get anyone good, huh?
Yeah, and who knows who else might show up. We don't want the commissioner.
We to the extent that there's any urgency from our standpoint, the sooner you make your commitments and arrangements, the better you can do the events. And so we're anxious to get going, but I know the Players Association has a responsibility to the players and has some work to do, and we respect that process.
Last weekend ahead of the Hall of Fame, and I'll return to my comment in a second. It wasn't just a flippant comment. You know, he basically said what you have been telling us for a little while, that the NHL really wants to build the World Cup as opposed to participate in the Olympics.
Yeah, and there won't be a World Cup if there's any kind of labor uncertainty. The NHL will not do what it did in 2004, which is hold a World Cup and then have a work stoppage a day later. A lockout, you know, whatever you want to call it. And I interviewed Gary Bettman at a sports management conference here in Toronto on Monday. I'm asking that question, he said point blank, we're not doing that again. So if the players announce in September of 2019 that they're reopening for September of 2020, there won't be a World Cup in 2020.
How long was the, I'm curious, how long was the interview with Gary Bettman?
30 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. So you can imagine when we're presented with Gary Bettman during just ahead of the draft, and he says, or Frank Brown tells us, you have 4 minutes with the commissioner.
Yeah.
Right?
It's impossible, right? Yeah. And so I do this every year at this sports management conference. I speak to him for half an hour. Did Rene Fizel for half an hour. Last year did a thing with Bill Polian, and we did an hour on the drafting of Peyton Manning. So you can really get into the meat of it. Really get into the kind of nuts and bolts of things. And you know, it's a great conversation. There are times, he got irritated about all the Olympic questions. But it's a much better format, and it's unfortunate, that long form articles, long form interviews, long form pieces have kind of gone by the wayside, isn't it? Remember those Sports Illustrated pieces that'd be 3,000 words long and really get into something?
Well,
they don't exist anymore.
Well, if you have time to read The Athletic, yeah, there are some in there.
Yeah, there are some. Yeah, for sure. And there's been some really good stuff in there, and I hope that comes back. The long form, sit down interview where you can really get into it with someone is great to do. I really enjoyed it with Gary. He is above all a very intelligent person. So you better be on your game when you're talking to him because he knows the facts and you better know him too.
And obviously, Saku Koivu. I played with him in Anaheim too. It was just so special teammate and pleasure to play with him. And there's one guy I always want to thank. It's this guy, Paul Kariya. Obviously, for me, by far the best player I've ever played. I have learned so much from you. Even I always joking that half my salary I played hockey and half I tried to make you close to be a normal person. But you have been so good to me, your family. Sharon, you have raised him so well. I'm so proud of your family. And everything what you have done for me, I'm so proud. Thank you so much.
And Teemu, I simply would not be standing here tonight if I didn't get the chance to play with you. We will always be brothers in this life and the next.
How about adding a postscript, Gore, to that to one of several great moments at the Hall of Fame dinner the other night?
How could you? How could you add a postscript to that? I thought it was fantastic. That Paul Kariya's speech really was from the heart, and a great induction class, but those two to go in together was just so pitch perfect, wasn't it? It just made so much sense that they would go in together, and I don't think it would have been the same without for Paul without Teemu and Teemu without Paul. Teemu Selanne is such a vibrant person and so just loves every minute of life. And Paul is so thoughtful and reserved in so many ways, but they bring out the best in each other. And I thought it was a fantastic night.
Do you have a favorite U2 tune?
It kind of it sort of comes and goes. I mean, it sort of depends on the day. I would say, Sunday Bloody Sunday would be one of them. New Year's Day, some of the early stuff. Yeah, I like a lot of it. I it's like saying, what's my favorite Springsteen song?
Right.
I like so much of it, right? I think what's amazing about them is they've stayed relevant for so long. That's hard to do, right?
Were you watching, by any chance, Live Aid in the summer of 85?
I was, yeah.
I'll never forget.
I thought Queen at Live Aid was one of the greatest live performances I've ever seen in my life. I still remember Queen performing at Live Aid.
Yeah, it was a little while after U2, and that was the first time a lot of people saw U2. They were tremendous. So we're going to ask a question based on that in a couple of seconds. Tell Blair she really did sound great, and we'll like to talk to her again at some point.
Please don't tell her that. Please do not tell her that.
What does she want to be? She want to be a dancer?
No, huh? No.
What's she good at? What's she good at?
She's a good communicator. She has a great heart. I think Blair, whatever Blair does in life, it'll be to make other people's lives better. If I had to guess, she will do something to make other people's lives better.
Wow, she made us feel better for 2 minutes.
Oh, God, you're killing me.
Have a great week.
You too, guys.
You too. Nicely done. Little Ron McLean touch there.
I will be with you again.
Then NHL, 1992, I went to Winnipeg. What a 4 years that was. There's no really words to describe that feeling. The way how the people, the fans, the city lived that 4 years with me, it was something that I'm never going to forget.
Even at minus 30 Celsius at times. Okay, finally, as promised, Gord mentioned the Queen at Live Aid at Wembley in London. Without question, the best set in London or Philadelphia, for that matter. But U2, for a lot of us, it was our first in-depth look at U2, unless you saw them at Barrymore's in Ottawa or at Le Club Montréal early on before it was the Spectrum. Who followed U2 at Live Aid in London, July 1985? First one through with the correct answer gets a pair of tickets to beat the box office to see them, the Experience in Innocent Tour, June the 5th at the Bell Centre. Tickets go on sale next Monday at 10 a.m. at Evenko.ca.
Melnick in the Afternoon is brought to you by the 2018 Subaru Forester, the unbeatable combination of reliability.